Good morning, people of God. Yeah, that's better. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. On behalf of Pastor Thompson and the entire Archers Grove Church family, I'd like to say good morning to everyone listening on Facebook Live, everyone on the phone lines, and all of you who are here in the parking lot. We're glad that you decided to worship with us this morning. To this wonderful praise team, my wife, Queenie, Tabitha, all the musicians, thank you. Thank you for coming out. Let us enter his gates with presence, with praise and thanksgiving. This morning, we're going to do a selection for you. It's coming from the hymnals. We're going to do a hymn. And it's page 356, Just a Closer Walk with Thee.
Just a closer walk with me.
just a closer walk with thee. Amen. This morning's scripture is going to be coming to you from Matthew, the 5th chapter. And we're going to start reading at the 13th verse and read through to the 16th verse, where Jesus teaches us about the salt and the light. Amen?
Amen.
You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again?
All right.
Is it no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot?
Yes.
You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on a stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Blessed is the word of God. I'll ask Deacon King, if you would please come up and bless us with our morning prayer. After which the praise team will bless us with another selection.
Good morning, congregation.
Good morning.
Let us go to God in prayer. Most holy and all wise, truthful and righteous Savior.
Yes, Lord.
We come, Lord Jesus. We come giving you praise. We come giving you thanksgiving. Mm-hmm. We come giving you worship.
Yes.
We pray, Lord Jesus, that you would continue to protect us, guide us, and lead us.
Yes.
We thank you for the presence of the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, continue to rest, rule, and abide in us throughout this day. These and all blessings we ask in Jesus' name as we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Deacon King. Thank you.
Thank you.
fight on. You fight on, soldiers. Fight on. Next, we're going to have our speaker of the hour, Reverend Jeff Cook. He's going to come and bring us our message for today.
Morning, church. It's good to see each and every one of y'all today. Before we get started, just one quick announcement. The kitchen committee is asking for volunteers to help clean up the fellowship hall. And if you could get with Sister Johnson, they're going to be doing that next Saturday between 11 and 11:30. And welcome again, to piggyback on Reverend Turner. Welcome everybody, those that are watching live on Facebook, those here that is before us, friends, family, saints, and those that will watch this later. Gracious Father and all-wise God, my Lord and my Savior, I thank you for this opportunity. The opportunity, Lord, to be used by you, to be able to stand before your people, Lord, not doing my will, but thine. That, Lord, that I shall decrease, I shall be humble and meek, that you shall allow your spirit to fall upon me in great magnitude, that your word shall come out from in me to your people, that it shall be receptive unto each and every one. And I thank you. Amen. And before I get started, I'd like to say, give honor to my pastor who is not here. Hopefully he's still in the bed, getting some rest, much needed rest. And I'd like to give honor to Bishop and Bishop Cates for being here today. Such a wonderful, wonderful surprise. Hey, y'all honky horn for him. Thank you, thank you. And thank you for all that you're doing for me, Bishop Cates, in class, studying, teaching me. I appreciate it. If y'all could meet me in the book of 1 John, chapter 1. I'm going to be reading verses 5 through 7. And of course, I'm reading out of the NIV. Son don't want to work with me up here. And it reads, "This is the message we have heard from him and declare to you. God is light. In him there is no darkness at all. If we claim to have fellowship with him and yet walk in darkness, we lie and do not live out of the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus, his son, purifies us from all sin." For a subject today, a silhouette in the midst of a symphony. I might have to explain that one. I had to explain that one to myself. And I didn't realize the true meaning of a silhouette until actually I studied it. I thought it was just a shadow. But it's not. If you've ever gone to a play and you see the curtains, and behind the curtains there's images or people moving around, those are silhouettes. You only see the black shape of those images. And a symphony is not just music. A lot of us think when you hear the orchestra play, it's a symphony. It's not. I like to go hear the Greensboro Symphony play for Christmas every year, and it's not symphonic music they're playing. They're just playing music. They play Christmas songs. That's music. A symphony is actually a story put in movements that depicts a storyline from beginning to end. And it's a harmonious melody that's put together and conducted by the conductor. And he blends each and every one of the players or musicians to what they're playing. So with that said, Romans 8:29 and Ephesians 1:5, they both tell us that we were predestined. We were foreknown to be conformed in the likeness of Christ for his pleasing. Not for us, but for his pleasing. And Luke 10:20 tells us, well, actually he told the followers when they returned, and they told him that they cast out demons in his name and they were happy. He said, don't rejoice over that, but rejoice that your name is written in the book of life. So between those scriptures, we see that he already knew us, formed us, created us, and knew about us before the beginning. And in the end, he already knows the outcome. So what does that mean? What's going to happen in the middle? That's on us. We come to church each and every Sunday, and we come to hear what the pastor has to say, or whoever's speaking for that day. And they're not just staying up here telling you what they feel, what they think, or should, but they're toiling before the Lord each and every week, or before they preach, to find out what he wants his people to hear. And by doing so, the message that's given should be something in it for everybody that comes. The entire sermon may not be for you, but there is something in it for you that you can use, that God put in there specifically for you. And there are sometimes that, and I'll say for me, I have gone to church and I was hearing the message. I wasn't listening to the message. So when I'm just hearing the message and I leave, Satan comes and takes it away from me. I didn't get anything out of it. It didn't help me in no way. But I've grown to learn that I need to listen. And when I listen, that means intently and determined to hear and perceive and discern what the message is, so that it will help me, for it's nourishment for me to go from that day to the next day that I come before Christ again in the church to hear another message. That's what the word is for. And when I do not listen and I hear, thank God for Facebook. I can go back and watch it again and get it. See, Jesus told us that he's the light of the world. And whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. So if we come to church and we listen to the word, and he is the light, why are we still walking with sin? Notice I said walking with, not walking in. There's a difference. You can be a Christian and be walking with sin. And we all going to do it. We all going to fall short. It tells us in the Bible. But our job is to come to church and hear the word, study the word, pray, so that we can stay as far away from sin as possible. See, he's the Alpha and Omega, which means he's the beginning and the end. He knows it all. He knew us before the beginning, and he knew us in the end. Will know us in the end. And it's kind of like a symphony. A symphony, when it's played, it has different sections in the storyline called chapters. We'll call them chapters. And it's the same with life. Some people say this is a chapter in my life. Some people say this is the part of my life. Christians say, according to the Bible, this season. But no matter how you look at it, how you perceive it, you're going to have ups, you're going to have downs. It's going to be fast, it's going to be slow, it's going to be hard, it's going to be easy, it's going to be good, and it's going to be bad. All of those are going to occur, no matter what. And the thing about those things that occur in life, in each chapter, story, or whatever you want to call it, life don't change. Life is always the same. The only thing that changes is the circumstances and how you perceive and react to those circumstances. See, when you're a child and you're hungry, you just go in the refrigerator, or somebody gives you something to eat, depending upon your age. If you want to go home, you just go home. Somebody's already paid for the light bill, the water bill, the heat, gas, whatever, put a roof over your head. Somebody's already supplied you with what you need as a child. But as you get older, grow up, and mature, it doesn't work that way. If you don't go to work, you don't have any money. You can't pay for those things. And if you can't pay for those things, you ain't got no food, you ain't got no lights, you ain't got no roof, you ain't got no home. So life doesn't change. The perception and your reaction to it is what changes. So we need to learn how to react and perceive these different aspects of our life as these chapters go by. But the Bible tells us that we are to raise a child in the way that that child should go. And as I read that, and read it, and read it, and read it, and began to study it, I realized it's not just for the youth. See, yes, with children, you teach them how to do things. And as time progresses, as they get older, they learn new things to add to those things that they will grow and mature, hopefully, and become adults. As a child of God, no matter how old you are, you're still a child. Somebody has to teach you, train you, help you, and show you the way to go. So you're still a child, either way it goes. So both ways, you have to raise that child. And our earthly father is Pastor Thompson. And he's doing the best he can with the guidance and the leadership of the Holy Spirit to raise us, his children, to our full potential to be the best that we're supposed to be. And only Christ knows our purpose. So Christ has given us a message through Pastor to help us so that we can grow and we can mature and that we can become the best potential that we can be. Just like going to school, you have that teacher, and I used to hate that. They would look at me and say, how come you ain't doing your work? I don't want to. But I see the potential in you. And they saw something in me that I didn't see in me. And I really didn't want to see it. I just wanted to go because I had to go and see my friends and get it all over with. But they saw something in me, and they began to work with me to draw those things out of me. Which is the same thing that God does. So as we go on this life journey, as I'll call it, and we go through these different chapters of life, we should be going from faith to faith and glory to glory as we mature. So as we are going from faith to faith and glory to glory, we should be moving closer to the light. But are we always moving closer to the light, or are we going to the light and coming back? That's the purpose of God's word, is to draw us to him, to give us everything we need. And in each chapter of the life that we live, it's different. This chapter in my life was different from the past, and it's going to be different from the next. And I don't know what it's going to be. But all I can do is pray, depend on him, and ask him for his guidance to lead me, because he's already given me what I need to go through this chapter. Is whether I'm listening to him and walking with him on whether I'm going to go through it without problems or minimal problems, I'll say. There's our perception. And then our reaction. And we react off of feelings and emotions. And we shouldn't be acting off feelings and emotions, though we have them. The feelings and emotions shouldn't control us, because we're supposed to be in control of our own body. So what we're supposed to do is perceive the situation and react to the situation according to His word, not to according to how we feel. And with us moving forward and reacting the way we should act by the word, because everything is in the Bible that we need for every situation that we will encounter. And as I mentioned to someone last night, everything that we need is already in us. He's just got to pull it out of us. And that's where all these trials and tribulations come. He's trying to pull stuff out of us that's already in there that He already gave us, because He knew what we were going to need. And as you listen to a symphony, the tempo changes. And in each movement, it could have, say, in the first one, it could be fast and slow. And in the next one, it could be hard and soft. And what it is the sounds that the musicians are actually playing are depicting characters or animals or events. If you notice when you go in the grocery store or you're in an elevator, well, that's why they call it elevator music. It's supposed to calm and relax you as you go into the elevator, because a lot of people don't like confined spaces. You go in the grocery store, they play a certain type of music because it's supposed to lift you up and cause you to have the experience and the joy of shopping. So it's all different. So when you actually listen to a symphony, there may be 15 different violins playing. All of them aren't playing the same. Some of them are playing one way, some of them are playing another way, but they're all playing together. And giving it a harmonious sound. But if you're hearing the symphony play, it sounds like chaos. But if you're actually listening to the symphony play, it sounds like a harmonious sound, and it has a melody. And in the midst of all that chaos, if you actually listen to it, it will actually calm you down and soothe you. So, and that's what God does when you're going through situations in life, whether it's He allows Satan to do something, it's a temptation, it's a trial, whatever it is, we screwed up, didn't do what He told us to do. It doesn't matter. Because in every instance, in every situation, He is creating a harmonious symphony with a melody to carry you through, to give you peace, is what He's doing. And nobody knows what you're going through now. Nobody knows what you've been through. But God knows. And with Him knowing, you may not see Him working, but He's always working. It may not feel that your situation is getting better. It may not look like your situation is getting better. But He is working in the background, orchestrating every single movement that is made. Because He said that the righteous follow His path. So He's making your path straight. Even though you're going this way, He's actually slowly turning your crooked path straight to go where He needs you to go, to do what He wants you to do. Because He's trying to get you to where you can have peace and walk through this life. And as we go through each chapter of life, we have this silhouette in the background. And just as everyone has their own personal angel, you have your own personal demon too. And that's that silhouette that's in the background. So when you're doing what you want to do, when you're doing what God asks you to do, He's right there in the back. She, I don't want to be sexist. In the back, trying to tell you, don't go over there. Don't do that. Go over here. You know you want to do this. And Satan has told them all the things of your past life, so they know what to go after you with. So if Your past life, you like to hang out. That's what they're going to do. They're going to try and get you to go hang out. If your past life was drugs, every now and then it's going to come up. If your past life was drinking, every now and then it's going to come up. Excuse me. But the thing about it is, we've got to walk close enough to the light that that silhouette that's in the background is so far away that we don't hear it. And this is a bad example, but it works. You're riding down the road and you're sitting at a stoplight. Everything sounds normal. But you hear a fire truck coming down the road. And it's faint. So that means it's far away. So we'll just, for an example, say you're sitting in the light and the silhouette is far away. But as the silhouette draws closer, it gets louder and louder and louder and louder to, well, it's right there. But our job is to stay in the light so that the silhouette can't come to us. And the job, their job is to just create havoc. No matter what it is, it's just to create havoc. Anything to get you off your game, just to confuse you. And God is not the author of confusion, so you know that that confusion is not from Him. So when that happens and occurs, and you have a lot of confusion, we know Ephesians tells us that we're supposed to stand with our feet fitted, which means planted in the gospel of peace. That means that we're supposed to be unmovable from the peace that we're in. No matter what goes on, as long as we stay in that light, we've got that peace. And no matter what's going on around us, it's not going to bother us. That's where you got to have the perception and the reaction. You have to stay there. Because if you don't stay there, we all know what's going to happen. And in each chapter of this life we go through, it's going to get harder and harder. And actually, it shouldn't be getting harder and harder. It should actually be a little more challenging, I'll say. Because what he's doing is, in each section, by causing it to be more challenging, he's actually causing you to depend on him more. That's his purpose. And by you depending on him more, you actually grow. And by you growing, you get more faith. And you get more glory. This is how it works. It's simple. That's all it is. So, when your personal demon can't get you or get you out of your, we'll say, comfort zone, they call their buddies. And they come in at you. And they're going to be coming from all different kinds of ways with all different kinds of things. You just got to stand. You got to stand and be planted in exactly where you are in the light. And there are some times, because the Bible tells us that we're going to fall. And we know this. But thank you for the grace. He allows us to repent, ask for forgiveness, turn from our ways, and he puts us right back where we were before we fail. So we can go right back to doing what we were doing, but we got to let go of ourselves and putting ourselves down, because that's what hinders us when he does that. We begin to put ourselves down. I can't believe I did that. I'm good for that. I'll tell you now, I'm good for it. I can't believe I did it. I shouldn't have done it. Why did I do it? And I'll do it for days. I have my own pity party. But you don't need to do that. Once you say, Lord, I'm sorry. I repent for my sins. Forgive me. That's it. It's done. He doesn't judge you. He doesn't condemn you. He puts you right back in the same spot that you were. So by each one of these sections that we go through, these chapters, is to build our faith, to make us stronger, to prepare us for the next challenge, and to depend on Him. Those are the four things that they're for. So that we can grow and, again, go from faith to faith. And faith to faith just don't stop faith to faith. It continuously and goes on. and his glory does not end. So we continuously go from faith to faith, glory to glory, faith to faith, glory to glory. We continue to move in that way if we stay in the light and be obedient. So we've just got to make sure which way we're going to go. We've got to figure out, do we really want to do what we say we're going to do and commit ourselves to the Lord? Because when we ask the Lord to come into our lives and be our Lord and Savior, that right there says, I give you control of my life. That means your life is no longer your own. It's not yours to do what you want to. It's not yours to do what you please. It's yours to do what he wants you to do. Doesn't mean he's not going to give you the desires of your heart, because he is. He wants you to be happy. He wants you to be prosperous. He wants you to come to him and ask him for what you need, even though he already knows that you need it and he already knows what you want. He gave me a motorcycle one time and I didn't even ask for it. And I took it, of course. So he will give you the desires of your heart. He already sees what it is you want. We just got to stay with him. And see, Christ said that my peace I give to you. So if he gave us his peace, we know that everything's good if we stay in the light. But we know when it rains, it pours. But when it pours, we need to be still and wait for him to part the water so that we can walk through on dry land. And when the mountain comes before us and we ain't got the strength to do it, we're standing there looking at this great big old mountain in front of us and we're like, how am I supposed to go over this? You be still and you ask him to give you strength to overcome it. And then when the storms of life come, you ask him for the peace to weather the storm. You don't ask him to remove it, because if you ask him to remove it, and if he does remove it, you're going through it again. So you might as well go through it the first time. And when your enemies are all around you, everything is falling apart, be still. Have peace, knowing the battle is not yours. So we just got to depend on him, pray, and stay close to him in the light. For in him, there is no darkness. So we need to walk into the light, stay in the light as close as we can, and be with him. So the closer we get to him in the light, the more peace we're going to have. The more it's going to kill your flesh. The less your trials and tribulations are going to become chaos. Because it's just a circumstance that's going on. And your perception knows it's just a circumstance. And your reaction is not to fall apart, but to give it to God and let him deal with it. And as they say, seal, because he's going to take care of it. So just like the conductor leads a symphony and he's telling a story through the music that's played, Christ is actually orchestrating your life with love. He's orchestrating it in every single move. And the catch here is to have a symphony of life is to have peace. That is the symphony of life. Peace. Where you get the peace from? The light. Where's the light? Christ. Got to stay in Christ to get the peace. And that's what we have to do. Because we know that all things work together for those who love the Lord. So let's just follow the Lord, stay in the light, and be as he wants us to be and do the things that he wants us to do. Because in case you didn't realize it or didn't know it, we ain't got one chance. One chance. And we got to get it right. We got to get it right. So let's stay with him. Follow him. Live for him. Do for him. Be with him, show love to each and everybody, which is showing Christ, which is what he wants us to do, and we can walk in the way that we're supposed to walk, to help our fellow man, to help our neighbor. For You might not even know your neighbor is going through a problem if you don't go talk to him. You might not know that your neighbor ain't ate in 2 or 3 days if you don't go talk to him. So you should always stay in tune. And one thing that I've learned and I'm still learning and still trying to do is God is always working. Where he's working is our job to find out where that is. And when we find out where he's working at in our lives and in our surroundings, that's where we're supposed to go. To where he is working, because that's where he wants to use us. And that's what we need to do. I thank y'all for that. And the doors of the church are now open. That if there's anyone out there that has not received Christ in their life, that has not tried Christ, that wants to give him an opportunity to show you how good he really is, that the world perceives him to be wrong because it's not what they want. But he is never wrong. He's always right. Is there anybody? So everybody's saved. That's a good thing. That's a great thing. So all of us, let's walk in the light. Let's look to where Christ is working. Where he's doing his work. That we can do our work. Because we all have a purpose in him. That purpose is not in us and what we want and what we foresee our life to be. It's what he wants our life to be. And no matter what you've done, he will forgive you. He will forgive you. But he's a good God. A merciful God. He's full of grace and mercy. And it never leaves us. It's always there. Gracious Father, we thank you for this opportunity. For Lord, you've allowed us to come to your house to hear your word. Father, I pray that your word was receptive by everyone here. That it shall touch everyone's heart. That Lord, when you gave me this word, I was excited with the title and didn't know where it was going. But when you showed me where it was going, you showed me how far from the light I am. How far I need to go to get them. Lord, I trust you. And I ask you, Father, to help me to get there. I ask you, Father, to help everyone out here, everyone that's watching, everyone that will watch, to get to the light. For there is love in the light. There is joy in the light. There is peace in the light. Lord, and also in the light, you take away everything. Everything that we have, Lord. You give us deliverance in the light. For your mercy is everlasting. And we thank you. Father, I pray that we meditate on your word. Not just the word today, but daily meditate on your word. Give us a word, Father, each and every one of us. Each day, to meditate on it, to hold it within our heart, to keep it, that no matter what comes our way, we know that we can recollect that word and it will give us what we need. And we thank you. So Lord, we pray that as this service comes to a close and we go about our own way, Father, you said that you would never leave us nor forsake us. But as we leave, Lord, that you continuously guide us. No matter what we say or what we do, continuously guide us
Turn us, Father, from the path that we want to go, but onto your path. Make our path straight. Orchestrate our lives, Lord, to where it is in unison with you, that it's in harmony with you, that it's a melody, Lord, that it's a sweet sound unto you, and we thank you. So, Father, we give you all honor, all glory, and all praise on this day and forevermore.